Hi everyone, I'm the project coordinator for this project, which is called Homelands. So I'm just going to run through the project. I'm not a technological whiz, unlike some of the presentations I've seen today, I'm not going to be talking deeply about technology. This project is an internet television project which is designed to connect refugee young people with their homelands and separated communities across the diaspora. It's funded by Vic Health under their Community Arts Participation Scheme at the moment through this year, and also by the City of Melbourne Community Cultural Development Program. And it is co-produced by the City of Melbourne's Community Cultural Development Program, which is where I work, and the Cultural Development Network. I can explain a little more about those organisations if people want to know about them. My boss, John Smithies, was the person who created this idea. I think I might go to this slide. I'm an entry-level PowerPointer, so it's not particularly sophisticated. John, I think he was responding to a nexus of conditions that exist at the moment in Australia and particularly in Melbourne. He was responding to research and anecdotal evidence which suggests that for refugee young people, settlement can be more positive and settlement outcomes can be enhanced if they can continue to connect back to their homelands, and if they can continue to maintain a sense of their cultural identity and their identity. This research has come out of a couple of our partner organisations, the Centre for Multicultural Youth, and also the Refugee Health Research Centre at La Trobe University. So the other thing, I guess, is the nature of ICTs globally and, all the stuff that people are talking about at this conference about the net and net-based tools and social networking tools that are available to obviously people who are not have access to those tools, and also stuff around low-cost entry-level production technologies. Obviously, the whole digital video technology thing. I haven't explained it, have I? Sorry, I'm not very good at presentations. So the idea that John came up with was to develop an internet television program that was created through content that was created by producing communities that are separated geographically. So this is my storyboard of a potential program. So the idea is that over time we could have a producing community of young people in Melbourne and a producing community of young people, for example, on the Tyburma border, and that those two producing communities would collaborate, which I've actually got another... Sorry, everyone. I'll go to my flowchart. that you could have two separated producing communities from a community, for example, the Karen community or the Sudanese community who we're working with now, that those two communities could communicate with each other about things that they were interested in, about what they wanted to know about each other, content that they wanted to create about a shared idea around what a television format could be, that then they would separately produce that content, and that then that content would be compiled together into a television program, which would be drafted up and then based on a kind of whole sort of rights and release approval process, end up being distributed back to those two communities, back to those producing communities online, so that they can both watch it. So that's the basic idea behind the project. And Yeah, so what we've been doing over the last year with funding, with the funding that we've got from Vic Health and from the City of Melbourne, is we've been piloting the project. So what we've done over this last year is we've got a reference group of organisations that are steering the project. We've run two sets of workshops so far. So we had one in the first half of the year, and we're currently sort of coming towards the end of the second workshop program. We've worked with the Karen and the Sudanese communities in those workshops, so we've had two groups of young people from both those communities locally, and they've been producing content. And we've been doing research into international relationships and how to run this program overseas, looking at issues around content and rights management, and also seeking funding. The project has just recently been funded by the Australian Research Council, so it's now got 4 years of funding, which will see it continue to develop for the next few years. Yeah, so here's the various organisations that are involved at the moment. We've got the City of Melbourne, the Cultural Development Network, who are the co-producers, and then we've got the Centre for Multicultural Youth, who have been managing our youth worker position, and we've also got, at the moment, a Sudanese liaison officer who's been working with local Sudanese young people and with the Sudanese community here, as well as researching international stuff, so in the Sudan, Egypt and Kenya. We're partnered with La Trobe University's Refugee Health Research Centre, who are now going to do a pretty substantial research around this project. APC.au, who are an international organisation, which I don't know, people here might know about them actually, but their whole thing is about sort of the digital divide, digital equity stuff. Open Channel, who will probably perform a training role over time. And we're looking for international partners. And we employ a content producer who's been working with our local communities. Where will I go next? So what we've been doing... So I went to Thailand because I suppose one of the key issues around this project is the idea that we are trying to work with communities who are living in very different circumstances to the circumstances that their sort of parallel producing communities would be living in Melbourne. So I actually went to the Thai-Burma border in the middle of the year, and we've... through a partnership with a Thai theatre company, we have been able to set up and operate a producing team on the Thai-Burma border, which has kind of been really cool. So we've actually, those guys worked in Um Pien Mai, which is a refugee camp on the Thai-Burma border, and worked with Karen young people there and produced quite a lot of material, which we just received yesterday on a hard drive. And that will be integrated into a program that we'll complete over the next couple of weeks. And so that program will actually demonstrate the ideas that we've got behind this project. There'll be this storyboard just sort of demonstrates what the program could look like. We're sort of interested in using a television format, so we'd have an anchor and various segments that people would slot their material into. With the Sudanese, we're developing material locally, but we don't have a partnership overseas yet. We've researched Kakuma Camp in Kenya, and we've also started some research in Juba in South Sudan. So we'll keep developing that in the near future. Where else? What other diagrams have I got? I don't know what else to say. Sorry, I'm not a very good presenter, so maybe if people want to ask questions. Or if you don't, that's fine. Yes? Really different range. We've got... It's really interesting, actually, because we've got in the Sudanese group at the moment, part of the sort of piloting has been around how to make these workshops actually really accessible, and where to locate them, and how to try to generate a core group of people who will be involved over time. And in this workshop series, we've got a guy in our Sudanese group, Ezeldine, who was showing us films that he'd made yesterday, and they were incredibly high quality. You know, so it ranges from someone like that through to people who probably haven't really picked up the technology. The Karen group, so the two groups are very different, which, of course, the Karen group probably overall have had less interface with technology at this stage. Like the Karen, I think they've more recently arrived in Australia, and their English skills are lower. But it's really interesting because someone's talking about the digital natives and digital immigrants thing, and the guys really are taking to the technology very rapidly. So, Yeah, that's interesting. That's what... in the first workshop series, we actually didn't put any editorial over the top. Like, it's not our... We don't see it as our role to have an editorial kind of voice on this project, but we've also got to deal with all the issues around rights and around safety. So it's very complicated, but... And so with the first workshop series, and this is where the pilot phase has been really, really valuable, because I've certainly learnt everything I know about this project from this year. There was some controversial material was produced in the first phase, and now we're more conscious about that, but we're also expanding our ideas in the sense that, we're giving people DV cameras and they're going out and they're filming stuff. But the bottom line around the idea of content is, and content management and how what's appropriate or inappropriate content, those questions, our idea is that the communities themselves should determine that, so that base level of collaboration around what ideas are appropriate or not is sort of where that starts, and then there will be a filtering system, I suppose. But yes, oh sorry, okay, go. Yeah.
And it's a kind of negative, often quite a traumatic experience. And I was wondering how you negotiated this issue in your project, and that you are connecting young people to their homeland and back into that community.
Obviously, I guess the first level of that is a consent issue and also an issue around participation. Like, I know that also that there's obviously people who've come to Australia who are actually survivors of torture, people who are actually escaping really heavy stuff in their homelands and who don't want to... Yeah, exactly what you're saying. So I guess that probably comes down to the kinds of participants who are drawn to the project. And... I suppose what we're going to do over the next 3 years is we'll have paid roles on the project that are filled by community members so that those people are actually able to monitor that stuff with the sort of expertise that I certainly don't have. And we always have a youth worker duty of care kind of role running alongside anything we do as well. There's a lot of issues around those sorts of questions, which I think are really interesting. Like, really early on, there was questions around... And when I went to Thailand, I was surprised by some stuff because I actually thought... Because I think some of the things that we think maybe are the case also aren't the case. Like, you know, the thing about, for example, and I know it would vary enormously, but... If someone's living in a refugee camp in Africa, do they want to see someone who's now living in Australia who's got, like, Nike runners and, you know, all that sort of stuff? And I can't really speak on it myself in a way, but the anecdotal stuff that I've heard definitely isn't always the case that that's how people feel, you know, in some cases. And on the Thai-Burma border, what was really interesting for me was that this project's developed out of research around resettlement in Australia. So the whole focus of this project at its initiation was about, this is an idea about how maintaining identity and a sense of identity has positive outcomes. And when I went to the Thai-Burma border, I mean, in the case of the Karen, a lot of Karen don't actually want to resettle at all. And in fact, they're politically opposed to it. And so, but what we realised after that was that what they desperately want to do is maintain their cultural identity. Like, they want to keep their culture alive. And so, hence their participation, really. Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, hello.
What are some topics that have come up?
Yeah, it's so interesting, like, with the Karen, I can speak a bit more about the Karen group because we've got the other end operating, whereas with the Sudanese, we don't have the other end yet, so we're sort of working with the guys here. And so I know both ends a little bit of what the Karen, like, Karen on the Thai-Burma border, young people, and what Karen young people here have asked to hear about them. It's kind of, like, the Karen young people on the Thai-Burma border were interested to see things about what Australian nature looked like. They were interested to see how Karen young people and the Karen community here were keeping their cultural activities going. The Karen young people here were interested in... with the Karen, one of the things that does stand out is that they're all... interested in what's happening inside Burma, so in Karen state, and really the Karen young people in Umpia Mai in the refugee camp expressed the desire to set the project up so it had a component inside Karen state, a component in the Karen in the camps or a camp, and then the component in Melbourne. You know, so their interest is very much about what's happening to their community and their society within Burma. And the idea behind this project is that it can operate in any location that these communities are living. So we ultimately would like to have, you know, a producing community in Melbourne, a producing community in the UK, a producing community in Kenya, a producing community in Sydney. You know, the idea is that there can be any... that these communities can work anywhere to bring this stuff together, and that it's a shared product. So, yeah, they tend to focus on, like, both groups because they think about, oh, what would people want to know about? And so they think about things like education, I guess recreational activities. And with the Karen, we've got... And we can't understand it because it's all in Karen as well, so that's kind of interesting. So I was pleased to hear about the sort of... A potential for those sorts of translating tools inside YouTube. But we've got A Day in the Life of Frankie, which is we've shot here in Melbourne, and it's the day in the life of one of the Korean young people, so it's really funny. It starts with him, like, in bed with his big cuddly white teddy bear, and, you know, then he has a coffee and sort of wakes up and goes down the street and plays soccer and all that. And we've also got that from Umpia Mai, so we've got the same kind of concept and product coming from both ends, so that's really, really interesting. Any more questions? Yes, Jill? I'm better at the questions than the presentation, aren't I?
I just wanted to ask about the
To answer the last one first, we're working obviously in this partnership, and so all those different organisations bring certain kinds of expertise into the project, and so it was CMY's, the Centre for Multicultural Youth's, recommendation that we work with the Sudanese and the Karen communities, and that recommendation I think was based around their sense of the capacity that those communities had to participate. The question about The idea behind this project is that it's an ongoing television project or program that goes live to air on a regular basis, and that it becomes a community-operated and owned resource. And I think underlying that, the Cultural Development Network is an organisation that advocates and around cultural development in terms of policy. And so from John's perspective, he will use this project to advocate to governments around establishing connectivity between four communities who are settling in Australia with their home communities or separated communities. So that's kind of like a bottom line. And I sort of see that, I mean, I don't know where this actual project is going to go, what its final outcome will be, but I'm kind of hoping that if it doesn't end up having the outcome of being a kind of Facebook, it is being a social networking tool that is actually used in this global sense, that it enables something similar to take place, because this project's so much about the digital divide. Like, you know, I mean, the major problem with this project is that on the Thai-Burma border, there's I think 7 refugee camps on the Thai-Burma border, and only one of them has internet satellite broadband, and that broadband is Pastor Simon's, and I know him, I've met him, and Pastor Simon runs a Bible school. So, you know, that's the only broadband there, and it's the only broadband that's actually been allowed by the Thai authorities. And then the questions around cameras and access and being able to go in and out are very complicated. But I guess that the rate of development and the rollout of technology is changing all the time, and so our thing is sort of to try and work with whatever the conditions are and to try and resource people to be able to. So we've resourced the Thai production team with cameras, and we're paying them and so on and so forth, so we're kind of enabling them to participate through funding. So that's great, I reckon. Any other questions? Oh, that's right, the language was, sorry. I reckon that's really interesting because, like, I haven't bought a translator into the program yet. Like, we will. I mean, I'm on the phone to translators just trying to work out when to bring them in at the moment, because we're sort of starting to do some training, some stuff like maybe the rights management stuff. We need a translator so that we really can talk to the Karen young people, because their language skills are quite low at the moment. But the other side of that also, from what I can gather, and this is something I'm just learning about, a lot of the translators that work in these communities are actually community leaders or community elders. And so if you bring a translator into a context like this, it potentially limits the sort of freedom that those young people have creatively. So there's that side of it. And we are able to communicate, but we will ultimately translate all of our content. We'll subtitle it, but at least at this stage, because we need to do that so that we can understand what's going on and so that we can use it to support our project and to demonstrate our project. But beyond that, it's not really about us. Like, it's about the Karen being able to communicate to each other, and they don't. Their first language isn't English, so.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about the production.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, we don't know. I mean, yeah, we don't really know what everyone's saying, but we trust them. You know, like they're. But we had a really interesting experience yesterday. This hard drive came in from Thailand, and there was a film on it called Blood Karen, which was made by Poer, who's our coordinator, not by the group. So it was a separate piece that he'd actually sent over, and I discovered this later because the young people had asked to see it. So our Karen young people have been on conference calls about 4 times to Poer. They've sat around in a room and talked to him, and they all talk in Karen. And so evidently they've been talking about this film, Blood Karen. And before the young people arrived, we started looking through the material, and this film was so hardcore. Like, it's a drama, so it's all fictional, but it was very, very full on. There was very nasty things going on, you know, And it's a political film because they're really, I know a lot of these guys are very much politically driven. And so we didn't show it to the young people, but then when I looked at the letter from the woman who we've been working with, Willow, she said, Poer sent this because the young people wanted to see it. You know, so there's a dilemma already. It's like, you know, so I have to sort of, I guess I'd have to kind of talk through that with everyone and we have to make a decision about it. But for me, it's like that's their decision, really. In this case. Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from. Yeah, I mean, it's very difficult. I would say one of the responses to that would be that we work with auspicing organisations. So, because the two, I mean, at the moment we're working with Korean and Sudanese, and the two contexts are really, really different. Like the camp context in Kakuma camp in Kenya, for example, is different to the camp context on the Thai-Burma border. So there's all these different conditions. But I know what you're saying. I think it's a really good point. I don't have a completely specific answer to it. I mean, this hard drive that this all went through an Australian volunteer who's on the Thai-Burma border, who's working for a Thai theatre organisation. So I guess there's a few layers there. But no, I really get where you're coming from with that. Suffice to say that on the Thai-Burma border, the Karen are doing these kinds of things all the time themselves. Like, so outside of this particular project, they're making films and they're doing all sorts of stuff already. Yeah, no, I agree. It's a very big question, that one.
Things that we find is that typically people are resettled in Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And sort of the big cities, because that's where they can be settled.
Yep.
But that there's not enough connection between the Sudanese in Christchurch and the Sudanese in Wellington and the Sudanese. And maybe the leaders get together.
Yep.
Once a year because they belong to Change Makers Forum.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, we're looking to address that through a refugee portal, but it really leads to massive isolation.
Yeah, yeah.
Particularly the smaller communities.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm the coordinator of this project and I'm so aware of all the limitations, like I'm constantly going, oh my God. But on the positive side, you know, I can also see, and I think that the digital equity stuff comes in the sense that these people have the right to be able to sort of socially network across their communities as much as anyone does, and it's this thing where the ICTs, with this kind of thing that's happened that everyone's talking about before, this creates an opportunity that's never ever existed before for people to maintain their connections when they are separated, whether it's they're separated because they're in Wellington and Christchurch or whether they're anywhere else. And the research component alongside this project, like the Refugee Health Research Centre researchers, are interested in how ICTs create, about how the use of ICTs can create positive identity for young people and for refugee young people, and it's the stuff around resilience and you know, the idea that these young people have been able to cross through all sorts of environments, all sorts of contexts, and that they, you know, that they're truly global citizens. So that stuff's really, really interesting. And what do you do?
I'm actually a web development company, but I do a lot of voluntary work.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I think that's why I'm really interested.
Yeah, yeah. I must say that I've worked on all sorts of different projects, community development projects using film and video mainly, and it's just really cool to hang out with these dudes. I'm just having the best time. It's great. And such talent and such ability. And, you know, I think part of the impetus behind this project was around the stuff that was happening in Melbourne just a year or so ago, where the Sudanese young people were being, like, completely vilified, you know, and they're just, that is just so wrong, like, you know. And, you know, and I think for the Sudanese too, they're very identifiable as well, like, you know, there's, you know, whereas the Korean, they slip in and, but, you know, it's like... Oh, it's very exciting. I mean, this guy Ezeldine, he's like making these great films, and I'm like, oh, I just hope that we start to get that kind of perspective filtering into our film industry, because it really needs it. Yes. Yeah, definitely. I mean, the idea is to... I mean, one of the aims which I slipped over in my presentation is to create... is that the programs that are made will create a resource and that can be collected in an institution, and that can be available, and that can provide a kind of history of resettlement. And particularly, it's a user-generated one, so... I think it can work, you know. I go through... Some days I think it can't work, and other days I think it can. And I think it can today, just because I had a really good day yesterday. But, yeah, the material they're producing is absolutely beautiful. And I just can't wait to see, like, the Korean stuff and from over there and the local stuff. And with that stuff about editorial, like, we've definitely steered away from the heavy stuff at the moment. Like, we're just trying to keep it really... really simple and reasonably unpolitical, because we really don't want to go into that area. It's not, we can't go there. So I think people are going to love it. You know, I think the community is going to love it. And we'll, so after this workshop series, we'll put that together and we'll screen it to the community here, and we'll send it to Umpia Mai. It'll screen overseas as well. So. Yeah, cool.
You know, because this might be quite interesting to bring that sort of Pacific Rim, Sudanese youths doing in New Zealand, like, and there's a big school.
We'd be good for that. I mean, if, yeah, anyone can, you know, we're so open. We're not, you know, we're like, if, I mean, if we could create a producing community in New Zealand, just all at